Well, people, not the way I'm guessing the Jays were hoping Vladdy Day would go. As of all the baseball games ever played, that was certainly one of them, I suppose. Probably about, what, 2.5 hours of our lives we won't get back. But I don't know. It was a pretty celebratory, triumphant mood down at the presser earlier this morning. I was able to head down there. People were using words like franchise-defining, legacy-changing, making history. And, yeah, that got, like, sucked right out of the dome after Austin Riley's first home run of the day. The Jays lose to open this three-game series on a six-game homestand. 8-4, the final score. So maybe a little more respectable after some late runs, but still a loss nonetheless. You're listening to Jays Talk, of course. Joe Adley with you. We're live on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're also streaming on sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. You can give us a call. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. You can text me as well, 590-590, name and location. The People's text line is always open. Standard messaging and data rates may apply. You don't only have to text in about this game, although I'm sure you want to vent. You certainly are free to do so, whether you text or call. Would love to hear from you guys. But also, if you want to give your thoughts on the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. presser, your thoughts on what Edward Rogers had to say, on what Mark Shapiro had to say, Ross Atkins, Vladdy himself, certainly taking a number of questions today. So you can, again, reach me, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell, on the People's text line, 590-590, name and location. Before we get started tonight, of course, I am not Blaren Barker, and the deal usually is, for those who listen regularly, is that B&B do the weekday games that start at, you know, 7 or 8 Eastern, and I do the really late games to give them a bit of a break. They do have a daily 2-hour show after all, and then I also do the weekend games. The reason it is me today and not B&B is because, as some of you may have heard via Blair earlier today, Kevin's mom unfortunately passed away this past weekend. So Kevin back in the States to be with his family. And I think I speak for all of my colleagues, but all of you guys as well, when I say, Kevin, we're thinking of you, man. We love you, Hazel, Chase, and the rest of your family. So, you know, please take all the time you need. We'll take care of whatever needs to be taken care of back in Toronto. This is just, you know, a radio show, podcast, but you be with your family, and we hope all is well. And our condolences, our respects go out to the Barker family, of course. But lots for us to discuss today. The biggest signing in the history of the franchise being made official today, as I said earlier, the biggest signing in the history of Toronto sports, period. Probably more accurate to say the biggest signing in Canadian sports history. And then on top of that, we did have something resembling a baseball game that was played down here tonight. So I suppose we should get to that first, even though I don't know how much is there really to say when the Blue Jays get torched 8-0 and, you know, make it a little more respectable, 8-4, the final score. But all right, let's talk about Easton Lucas to start, right? 5 innings, 6 hits, 8 runs, all of which were earned. 4 walks as well, only 3 strikeouts. He gave up 3 bombs, and they were monster bombs. They were not cheap home runs. They were absolute missiles. He threw 87 pitches, 60 of them were strikes. He faced 23 batters in those 5 innings of work. The home run from Sean Murphy, changeup, just floats it over the edge. Murphy goes out to get it. Not where you want to leave that ball. To Austin Riley, the first home run at least. Lucas leaving a 93-mile-an-hour heater, upper middle of the zone. Riley just destroys that baseball. And then the second home run from Riley, good Lord, 110 miles an hour off the bat, 444 feet from Riley for his second bomb of the day, a 3-run shot. Just a lot of leadoff base runners, whether it was hard contact or a walk, and there were 4 walks. I mean, it's funny because Lucas is in every way your fifth starter. I mean, coming into today, he had given you 10 1/3 innings of scoreless ball after not having started a game in his career 2 months ago-ish, right? So I think it was pretty likely that was already an improbable start to a career as it stood. But while Lucas had not looked like just, quote-unquote, a fifth starter over those 10 1/3, he really looked like a guy who only had 2 career starts tonight. I mean, the velo on the fastball, sneaky good velo on the fastball, but that was pretty much it, right? I mean, he couldn't command the fastball at all the breaking stuff, all the off-speed stuff did not look good, especially that changeup, as Chris LaRue was saying during the game, did not look good as well. Walks galore, hard contact, I mean, just not great. Apropos of nothing, if you are curious about the latest with Max Scherzer, John Schneider did say today that he is still feeling soreness after throwing recently and is going to visit with a doctor in the coming days. So I'm guessing we're not going to see Scherzer anytime soon. But again, like the offense is quiet, right? The offense is quiet. When you give up 8 earned runs as a starting pitcher, very few offensive outbursts will save you, right? I mean, it's still, for me, largely on Lucas, unfortunately for him. But, I mean, my goodness, you got to start hitting here, right? I mean, look, if you look at the out-of-town scoreboards, right? We'll do this again after the break. But every single starting member of 1 through 9 for the Rays had at least one RBI. And a whole bunch of them had multiple RBIs. I kind of stopped checking on the game. It was 14-1 Rays at one point. I mean, I stopped checking on it. But, I mean, I'm not even asking for that. Truly, I am just a boy asking a team to score him some runs. Okay, get Miles Straw some help, for God's sake. I mean, after a 9-7 start coming into tonight, obviously 9-8 now after this game, you probably were in a vacuum, and nothing is in a vacuum, I know, but you probably were at least a little satisfied with the team, regardless of the hitting. And I say satisfied, not happy, just to be clear, because a 9-7 start and sole possession of first place, you know, a couple weeks into April is nothing to sneeze at, but man, you just can't fail to record even one hit until the bottom of the sixth inning. And now that hit was a Miles Straw home run, the 7th of his career, so he is not going down to the minors anytime soon, not even when Varsha returns, and we'll get to that before we say goodbye. But, I mean, Straw broke up a no-hitter, and I respect Grant Holmes, but this is a guy who was stretched out into a starter for the first time in his career less than a year ago. That is not ideal. I mean, no matter how happy I am for Straw, I still think the big boys will hit like the big boys eventually. But it is objectively funny that Miles Straw and Tyler Heineman both have hit home runs before either Bo or Vladdy have done so. I mean, Miles Straw does look like he's using a torpedo bat. So if it's helping him, just give torpedo bats to everyone. It did not have David Schneider, so, you know, maybe it really is quite, you know, we hear, like, people like the commissioner and John Schneider has said this, and, like, when the Yankees were doing it, Aaron Boone was being asked about this, and everyone who uses torpedo bats basically is very careful to say, oh, well, it's not like a cure-all, it's not going to fix everything, but gosh, I mean, the state of the Blue Jays offense. Order every member of the Blue Jays torpedo bats at this point, because, I mean, they have, like, they're not doing squat until the end of the game when things just don't really matter anymore. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Ryan in Innisfil. Ryan, welcome to Jay's Talk. What's on your mind?
Not a whole lot, Joe. How are you doing, buddy?
Good, man. I mean, you know what? I was hoping for a better result after Vladdy Day got off to a good start earlier this morning, but I guess that was not to be, eh?
It's too nice for us people in Toronto for good things to be double entendres in one day. We have to take it one thing at a time. First thing I want to say today, though, is Barker, take all the time you need. Yep. Rest in peace, Mama Barks. Sucks. Take all the time you need, buddy. Show, you rock. You'll fill it just fine. But, yeah, rest in peace. I hope you're doing okay, buddy. Sorry for all your family. Second thing I want to talk about is kind of what you kind of led off with the whole theme of the day was, when is it time to not sort of hit the panic button, but at the same time, like, when do we get worried about the top of the lineup? Because, like, literally the only reason we are as good as we are right now as a team is our pitching staff and the bottom of the lineup. And I don't know if I can do another season like that, man, another 2023, just watching this staff carve and have them lose all the time. Like, because that year we could have had 5 Cy Young winners. Like, I can't do that again, man. So I don't exactly know when they're like, maybe we got to switch off things. Maybe we have to make the tough move. But, yeah, man, I don't know. Like, Vladdy, I'm so happy we signed you, buddy. I'm happy you want to be here. But it needs to be more, dude. We can't just be living off nostalgia of that MVP season. And then Santander, I know he always starts terrible in April, so I'm just going to leave it until May. If it's still bad in May, I'm calling again and talking about it, because this is not good. It's not freaking good at all. If those three bats, if Bo, Vladdy, and Santander were even just 50% as good as they are currently, we might be almost an undefeated baseball team. Like, this is a good ball team if the names on the piece of paper do what the names on the piece of paper are supposed to do. So I don't know when we hit the panic button. Shout out the pitching staff. Shout out the bullpen. Shout out everyone in this lineup except the top three. I can't even say that about Bo because he's playing great too. Vladdy and Santander, let's pick it up, guys. It's time now. It's time now. You've had a couple weeks. You had a whole spring training. enough's enough. You got your money. It's no longer a distraction. That cannot be an excuse anymore. Hit the goddamn cover off the baseball, and let's go win some baseball games like we should. That's all I got today, man.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate the call. Thanks for joining us here on JSOC, as always. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to – I think I committed personally to not overreacting, and maybe people who have listened to the handful of JSOCs I've done this year probably would disagree with this, but that I have not overreacted to certain things. So, you know, fair, hand up. But I tried to commit, at the very least, to not overreacting to things until May. And Ryan did allude to that, right? And I mean, I think that's not necessarily a thing I made up. I mean, even Scherzer, I want to say, yeah, it was Scherzer who said this. Maybe it was at the Zoom call he did when he signed with the team a number of months ago. And yeah, I mean, I guess take what Scherzer says with a grain of salt, considering how he's been used so far this year. But I don't know. I think many people feel it takes until May, which is like roughly a month. There's a little over a month, given that the season starts at the end of March, but a little over a month, 5 weeks, 5.5 weeks, maybe, for being generous, of seeing the team and knowing what they are. That's not to say you can't make any conclusions about a team until May. I think you certainly can be concerned about where the offense is. I am absolutely a little concerned, but I mean, if they were to turn things around in a big way between now and the end of April, I think we'd all just forget about the poor start offensively in a hurry. Now, I mean, people are probably screaming at their radio saying, well, they haven't shown any signs of turning things around anytime soon. All right, you know what? Fair. But I mean, there were some moments in this ballgame that probably could have turned things in a hurry. I mean, gosh, I don't know about you guys. I thought Vladdy got that ball on the first AV of the game. He obviously didn't. So, you know, you can't really view it as a moral victory or a silver lining or anything like that. I think if they keep having good ABs, the results will come. But I'm committing to not sounding the panic button yet, the alarm, until, yeah, May, probably, because we already knew it was going to be a tough schedule. I mean, coming up next, you got two more games against the Braves. The Mariners are never easy outs. The Astros, the Yankees, and then the Red Sox again have you going all the way through May. If they're still really scuffling come that Boston series again, which takes you to, like, I think the series ends on May 1st, then, yeah, I think there's reason to be concerned. But I think until then, for me, I want to see a little bit more from the offense. I am pretty pleased, all things considered, with parts of the bottom of the order. But, I mean, you're going to live and die, as every team will, on the performance of your top three bats. And one home run from Bo Vladdy and Santander ain't going to cut it, right? I still can't believe we live in a world. I said this already, but I still can't believe we live in a world in where Miles Straw and Tyler Heineman have more home runs individually than Bo or Vladdy, and are both tied with Anthony Santander, who we can only really say that about because he got on the board against the Orioles just a couple nights ago. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Halifax. Eric joining us from Halifax. Eric, what's on your mind? Welcome to JSTOC.
Well, first of all, I thought that was very touching when they put the jersey on Guerrero. They had no other choice but to do what they did, whether they did it today, last week, or last month, or whatever. If they hadn't assigned him, all hell would have broken loose in Toronto. Secondly, my deepest sympathy to Kevin's mom. I want Kevin to be strong and just don't give up. Hang in there. I'm sure she's probably going to a lot better place than we are right now. And as far as I turned 76 today.
Happy birthday.
My wish was that the Blue Jays would win tonight. Well, oof. When I turn 77 next year, I'll have that same wish.
All right.
Hoping that the Blue Jays come true for me. And like I said on the Barker show, pitching is going to be not their downfall, but if their pitching could hold up, because I think they got the bats, but if their pitching can hold up, I think they can make a little bit of noise in that division. That's all I have to say for now.
All right, Eric, happy birthday again. Thanks for joining us here on Jays Talk. Let's hope that on April 14th, 2026, when this schedule comes out, you call back, and hopefully the Jays have won that game, whether it is myself or Blair taking your call. But hey, happy birthday, man. Happy 76th. Look, let's talk about Vladdy, as Eric did bring that up. First of all, I did have the opportunity to attend the presser earlier this morning. I was sitting with Lindsey Dunn, Sportsnet's David Singh. And actually, I was sitting with our old pal, Rob Wong. It was nice to sit and hang with one of the first guys I ever hosted Jays Talk with. That was fun. But, boy, you have never seen that room. It's a pretty small room, all things considered, but you have never seen that place as busy as it was today. Like, every member of the media was there. Rogers, Bell, independent outlets. Vladdy had two rows of family there, including his wife and daughter, cousins, brothers. His agents were there. There were some teammates there as well. I think I spotted George Springer walk in first, Jose Barrios, Anthony Santander, and Andrés Giménez all came in. Actually, when he signed the contract, like when he physically signed the contract with Ross Atkins and then Ed Rogers, they were like hooting and hollering in the corner like you'd kind of expect your boys to do. So that was kind of fun. And I actually honestly was kind of surprised that Santander and Giménez, who have been Vladdy's teammates for all of like, what, a couple of months, were out there giving him all the support. I mean, I asked Chris LaRue this. I was just curious, as someone who has spent time in Major League Clubhouse. He was a pitcher, not a position player, but still. I asked Chris, and he said, it's not surprising. Not at all. I mean, you bond pretty quickly when it comes to a big league clubhouse, apparently. So doubly so when you're a likable person like Vladdy. So good stuff today. In terms of substance, right, I'm not sure there was a lot we didn't already hear from Vladdy at the presser. I mean, admittedly, I think it was cool generally from a fan perspective to hear him say the country has shown him a lot of love, so he wants to show them love back. Canada, his home, that he was born here. We heard from Edward Rogers, who we rarely hear from, and he was asked a number of questions, probably more questions to him than to anyone else, including Vladdy. I mean, I did like hearing Ed say that the ROI in a contract like this would be a World Series win, and I looked over to Vladdy. I mean, he was sitting right next to him, but I looked over to Vladdy when he said that, and the $500 million man was nodding along, so you have to believe he feels the same way. There just aren't many people who have played their entire careers as a Toronto Blue Jay. So many of our favorite Blue Jays over the years either started or ended their careers elsewhere, right? I mean, Roberto Alomar, Roy Halladay, Carlos Delgado, Jose Bautista, Tony Fernandez played for a bunch of different teams, George Bell as well, even Dave Steeb. I know some people might say this doesn't count, but I mean, even Dave Steeb pitched like three or four games for the White Sox the very end of his career. So, I mean, pretty cool that Vladdy will be here until he's 39, 40 years old. We'll see how that contract ages, certainly. I mean, gosh, if I'm still doing Jays Talk in 14 years, we can have that conversation. But I suppose the Steve thing could still happen, right? Like where he plays for another team for a handful of games at the very end. But, I mean, I don't know. We won't know that until 14 years from now. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go back to the phones before we take a quick break. Let's go to Nicholas on the 427. Nicholas, welcome to Jays Talk. What's on your mind?
Hi, show. It's me, Vince, and my son Nicholas here.
Okay.
I'll turn it over to Nicholas
sure.
for a couple comments on the game, and then I have some comments on the stadium.
Go ahead.
So the Jays hit the ball hard, but when they hit it hard at the wall, at the warning track, the Braves just got it. So
they sure did, Nicholas. That's very true. Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
What's up, Vince?
And then you know what? We didn't. With other things, but I thought I like the design. I like how they changed the shape of the seats. Sight lines are good. Some new bars and restaurants. I'd like the snack prices to come down a little bit, but
fair.
Overall, a good experience at the ballpark this evening.
All right, Nicholas and Vince, thanks for calling in. Nicholas, always call back whenever you want, as many times as you want over the next 14 years. Yeah, well, you can definitely call in however many times you like. Hey, Nicholas mentioned hard hit balls. And that's a pretty perfect segue to something I did want to get to before we take a quick break here. I actually wanted to spend a couple minutes on Heine talk. Actually, no, that's a PG program. We can't say that. He did look good, all things considered today. He narrowly misses a home run, and then he smashes a two-run double in the bottom of the eighth inning off of Bummer. I mean, I swear that is one of only a handful of times this entire season that a Blue Jay has swung the bat and scored multiple runs. So good for him. I mean, he is somehow hanging around hitting .500. After the double off Bummer, Heinerman he's hitting .455 after doubling off Bummer. That is truly insane, honestly. Like, I think most of us, when we were doing the roster discussions, I mean, at the end of the spring, it's kind of like, Kirk is your number one catcher, and then, like, catcher 2 was the name I think most people put in there. And I hand up again, I was guilty of saying, yeah, I mean, Heinemann is the guy they clearly like. They've brought him back through the organization multiple times. So, you know, how much can you really expect if Kirk is going to be catching, like, you know, 110 1,015 games this season. But Heinemann has been one of the more surprising developments in the early goings of the season. I mean, this is from Sportsnet television producer extraordinaire Chris Black, at Down to Black on X. Here are Heinemann's hardest hit balls in play so far. In his career. Okay, so April 6th, 2025. So what, like a handful of days ago, 104.5 miles an hour off the bat. Before this, a couple of years ago, June 1st, 2023, 103.6 miles an hour off the bat. Number three, 103.4 miles an hour off the bat. That was on April 10th, 2025. That was a couple of days ago as well. And then tonight, 103.2 miles an hour off the bat. I mean, whatever he's doing, however he spent his offseason, I don't know if he's been eating more Wheaties or if he just is, maybe his feet are a little further apart near the plate, but he has been phenomenal. And again, in a very, very super small sample size. But I mean, if this keeps up, and Kirk had a pretty good game the other day, so I'm not sure this is the right moment for Kirk slander. But I mean, if this keeps up, I got to imagine the texts and calls we'll get about, you know, the should Heinemann play more than Kirk? You know, should, instead of it being 6-1 in a 7-game span, should it be 5-2? Should it be 4-3? I don't think we'll ever get to 4-3, honestly. But I can see a world if Heinemann keeps it up, if they reward him by giving him a couple more ABs. Couldn't you? I mean, he's been so good offensively, and he's been pretty good defensively, all things considered as well, when it comes to holding runners and throwing runners out. I mean, that certainly goes alongside having pitching staffs that have been pretty good so far this season, and even Heinemann's work with the relievers has looked great. So, I mean, maybe that's something we're going to keep talking about. But just, you know, a quick note. I'm not sure it's something we need to spend too much time on, but let's keep monitoring how Heinemann continues to do throughout the season. All right, let's take a quick break here, and then let's go back to the text line, 590-590, name and location, which we haven't done yet, and we'll go back to the phone to see a couple people on hold here. So stay on the line, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. We'll go back to the phones as well, talk a little more about the offense. We can talk about Easton Lucas if you want, and certainly we can talk about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. signing his 14-year, $500 million deal officially in front of the assembled media earlier this afternoon. All right, lots to come still here on Jays Talk. We're back in a flash. I'm Sho Ali. We're back after this on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yeah, I think having a little bit more intent with what he's doing, and I think understanding there's a little bit more in there, and not being just a really good defender that can run, and understanding that he can hit the ball hard. So he's been such a positive addition to the club, both on the field and in the clubhouse. And I think hopefully he can kind of continue to do that. You know, it's nice when players kind of realize some things. It doesn't really matter what time of their career it is, and again, not asking Miles to hit 25 homers, but I think just taking some shots when he can.
That is Blue Jays manager John Schneider speaking to the media just a few minutes ago. John Schneider talking about Miles Straw, who launched his first home run of the season today. I believe his 7th career home run. So, you know, not a guy who hits a lot of home runs. Is largely known for the defensive work. A former Gold Glove winner, has been a very good defensive fill-in for Dalton Varsho, which I think was expected, but boy, he has been pretty good offensively, and now pretty good, much like the conversation with Tyler Heinemann, is relative, right? Is this relative to, like, what Aaron Judge is doing, or I don't know, like Shohei Ohtani or Mookie Betts or Jung-Hoo Lee and his hot start to the season for the Giants? Like, no, obviously not. Those are two different kinds of good we talk about when we have conversations about guys like that and guys who are not expected to be massive power contributors, but still a pretty good outing for Miles Straw in a couple of games now after delivering the game winner in Boston and this 7-6 extra innings win the other day, and then certainly tonight as well, despite an 8-4 loss. So welcome back to Jays Talk here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Sho Ali here with you for about 15 more minutes or so. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. We'll go back to the phones in a sec, and we'll go back to the text line, or go to the text line for the first time, 590-590, name and location. The People's text line is always open, but first, let's check the Bet365 standings update. At Bet365, you can watch thousands of live games, build your own bet, and you can even make a bet while the game is still being played. 19+, play responsibly, Ontario only. So the Orioles, I believe, did not play today, and with our game over, the Yankees game over, and the Red Sox are actually playing the Rays today, that game just went final, so we have the updated standings. The Yankees reclaim first place in the American League East by half a game. They are now 9-7. The Blue Jays are now 9-8, so they're half a game back. The Tampa Bay Rays are 8-8 after absolutely destroying the Boston Red Sox today. They beat the Red Sox 16-1. My God. And the Red Sox are 8-10, and the Orioles didn't play. They are 6-9. That's a Bet365 standings update. By the way, in that Rays-Red Sox game, again, I said earlier I stopped paying attention to it after it got out of hand, but I believe I saw this correctly. Tanner Houck, who was, you know, been pretty good over the course of his career. Pitchers get blown up, that happens. So, you know, maybe something we should remember to apply to Easton Lucas as well, I suppose. But he allowed 12 runs, 11 of which were earned. That is insane. So, I mean, I don't know. You talk about like, oh, should John Schneider have left in Easton Lucas that long? I mean, gosh, Alex Cora, what are you doing, pal? Anyways, so that's the Bet365 standings update. All right, let's go back to the phones. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Let's go to Shlomo in Scarborough. Shlomo, what's up? Welcome to JSTOC.
Hey, pal. Yeah, no, I think with the energy shifting off of Vlad's contract now, it's intriguing to think about Bo and what potential suitors he can have when we look around the league. I was thinking a bit about this today because obviously Bo's looking pretty good offensively. And if you look at last year as an anomaly and just injuries causing those numbers, then you can consider him one of the most elite bats in baseball with the times he's led the league in hits. And I was thinking, who's our competition to sign the guy? Well, obviously the Yankees, because the Yankees have Volpe there, but Bo's more elite. I was also thinking possibly the Dodgers, because why not? Bo wants to win. He could go there, probably take some deferred money. I was thinking the Giants, because the Giants have been very aggressive at infielders. You see them with Chapman, and you see what they did with Correa, even though they didn't sign him. I was thinking the Red Sox, because Trevor Story is going to be a free agent. And then I was thinking if he's down to move positions to second base, maybe the Cubs and maybe the Phillies. And I think there could be a dark horse in there, too, like someone like the Cards or maybe even Seattle or somebody ends up and goes in on him. And I was wondering what you think our competition is for Bo.
You know what? Okay, before I let you go, Shlomo, I will only push back. I think those are all possible by all means. So I will only push back on the Giants because I think they just signed Willy Adames, no?
Yeah, but shift somebody to second.
All right.
That's my thought. I don't know. Giants, it's such a war out there. In the West. The Giants, they have a good start right now. If you put Bo in that lineup, it's pretty scary.
Well, let me ask you this too, Shlomo, because I've thrown this around before myself, and I'm curious what other people think, because no one's really ever actually told me what they think on this. But so Corey Seager is the signing in terms of numbers I often look at. I've said this before a number of times. Corey Seager signing 10 years, $325 million with the Rangers, and now at the time that was considered a massive overpay, and maybe it still is, right? But, I mean, they won the World Series a couple years later, so how mad could they possibly be at paying Seager a bazillion dollars and Semien a bazillion dollars? But I don't know. I kind of wonder if that is, no matter who is going to sign Bo, I kind of wonder if that is the like part of the ask, because Seager signed that deal when he was 27, Bo is 27 and will be 27, at least depending if you believe he's going to sign his deal by the end of December, whether it's with the Blue Jays or someone else. I kind of wonder if that's the starting point for someone like Bo Bichette.
I mean, for sure. I mean, that's the basement of the deal, in my opinion, because the market's been reset. You see how wacky these contracts are now with what we had to give Vlad. No disrespect. I'm happy for Vlad. He got his money. But, you know, these kind of numbers weren't getting thrown around when Corey Seager got his money. I think if that deal was done again and times were and the market was where it was now, you'd probably see Corey Seager pass $400 million with how hot he was at the time. You know, like the market's completely shifted. What just happened with Soto and Vlad, it's a whole different ball game out here. Bo could get paid a lot. He could get paid handsomely, and we're seeing teams lock up younger players sooner for less money to avoid this type of payday. But money in baseball right now is nuts, absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
It's good for the players. Happy to see the money go from the owners to the players. But I wonder if we're seeing another shift or when the lockout comes. But also the money's just worth differently now too than it was when Corey Seager got his money. Like, look how far $100 goes for us here in North America today.
Sure.
And what he did 3 years ago.
Yeah, no, Shlomo, I appreciate the call, man. That's a great point. It's true. I mean, how much did we talk about just like the value of deferred money for like Shohei Ohtani when Ohtani deferred a, you know, like 99% of his contract, it felt like. I think with it's true too. I think with just valuations of contracts, for sure. I mean, I think whenever you're looking at a past deal, you have to add on some inflation, like just generally. Even if the big Juan Soto deal and Ohtani and so on, even if Vladdy, certainly you include that too. Even if none of those things had happened, you would still include inflation, just generally speaking, I would think, money-wise, just year over year. Again, Seager signed that deal in 22, I want to say, which, again, like 3 years ago wasn't that long ago, but still, he got paid a ton of money. I think the other comps, too, are, let's see, Willy Adames, I brought up already, 7 years, $182 million. Dansby Swanson signed with the Cubs, 7 years, $177 million. Xander Bogart got just a boatload of cash from the Padres a couple years ago when he left the Red Sox, 11 years, $280 million. And then you have Trey Turner with the Phillies, 11 years, $300 million. So I got to think because of his age, Bo is probably getting more than Adames and Swanson and probably something in the ballpark of Bogarts and Turner and Seager as well, right? Seager got one less year, a little bit more money. Turner, again, 11 years, $300 million. Bogarts, 11 years, $280 million. So, yeah, I mean, that's probably the ballpark for Bo. Again, I said this on yesterday's Jays Talk, but I do genuinely believe that ultimately what'll happen is Bo is more likely to stay with the Blue Jays now that Vladdy's under contract, but shortstops, just generally speaking, test the market, right? Now, again, when Ross Atkins spoke last week, when he spoke today, when Vladdy was asked directly at the presser today about Bo, I mean, everyone seems a lot more optimistic about it, certainly than they were prior to Vladdy, but I think on, and again, you can listen to this interview if you like. It was a pretty good one with Blair solo today, talking to Ross Atkins after the presser on Blair and Barker, on the longer edition of Blair and Barker. And Blair asked Barker about Bo, and yeah, Atkins said the attention now shifts to him. So I think there's still a good chance it gets done. I just think there was probably no chance it got done if Vladdy wasn't signing with the Blue Jays. But now that's not a problem anymore, right? 590-590, name and location. Let's go to the text line. I haven't gone to the text line yet. Let's go to the text line. Ryan from Saskatchewan saying, with everything that happened this summer, it's a little funny that Straw has contributed more than Santander has. Yeah, I mean, I feel like it is a little funny, right? Maybe you don't think those kinds of things are funny. I mean, I just think it's like funny in a morbid way almost, because obviously who would have possibly expected, just thinking of, again, I know things don't exist in vacuums, but just in a vacuum, who would have guessed that Straw, who is essentially the human emblem for failing to get Roky Sasaki, would be as good as he's been. He's been great. I mean, there's no chance he goes down. Varsha, we heard today from John Schneider that is closer to returning to the Blue Jays. I mean, pregame, he was said to the assembled media, Hazel had the full tweet if you want to read it, but he said that Varsha played six innings in what was essentially an extended spring training game. He was in the outfield, didn't have to make any crazy throws into the gap, still felt good. He's going to hit live BP tomorrow, which is Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, his wife's having a baby, so maybe he'll get some of that new dad strength, so I hope that goes well for the Varsho family. But maybe he'll get that dad strength like Fred VanVleet got in the NBA Finals. Apparently, the team is hopeful to get him on a rehab assignment this coming weekend with Dunedin, which I got to think is a good thing. But, I mean, still, you talk about who's going down when Varsho comes back maybe in a couple of weeks. I mean, it's not going to be Miles Straw, right? I know many people believe it's going to be Davis Schneider, which is definitely possible. I wonder, and again, Blair and Barker have said this many times, that the handedness is what's keeping Schneider up here. I wonder at what point that no longer matters. Nathan Lucas, speaking of babies, there was another tweet from Hazel during the game that Lucas's wife Taylor in labor right now in Arizona with their second child. So again, I hope all goes well for her and the Lucas family. But as a result of that, I got to imagine, like, one way or another, he will either be in the minors or he will be put on the paternity list very soon. So I just, again, Schneider, Lucas, someone else, I just have a hard time believing it's Miles Straw the way he's been playing. John from Toronto on the text line, keeping it positive. Huge that Lucas can give us five innings in what was a blowout. Keep the big dogs, I imagine the bullpen, fresh for a new game tomorrow. Bottom line is, Vlad and Santander, this is what Ryan was talking about, need to each hit a home run in every series from now until September to have a chance. Top-heavy lineups only work if the top is playing like we pay them to. And that's fair. I mean, you get paid the big bucks, you're going to be open to criticism more than someone else. And maybe you might not think that's fair, but that has been a thing in sports forever, right? I mean, like in Toronto, when Matthews doesn't score a goal or Marner's not scoring goals, they get criticized. And rightly so, because they're taking up, you know, however much percentage of the cap. Now, no cap in baseball, but gosh, I mean, it's going to be the same thing. Ruben in Alberta, appreciate hearing from you, Ruben. Haven't heard from you in a while. Ruben saying, dude, Vladdy's hitting 300 and Bo leads the league in hits. Jeez, I think he's talking about the criticism being levied at Bo and Vladdy. And I mean, look, that's great. Absolutely, that's great. 1,000%. But at the same time, you got to have them hit for power at least. Because this was the other thing, right? I'm glad Ruben brought this up. I think generally speaking, just another low-scoring game brings us back to the idea that teams that don't hit experience very fine margins of error, right? Like, we talked about this a lot over the last two games in the sense that when you don't hit, then you make avoidable errors, you're not going to give yourself a chance to win. Like, today, the margin of error was maybe something to overcome if Lucas had been able to complete five innings, only giving up the two home runs and four earned runs. And you take that from your fifth starter. But the fifth inning unraveled very quickly. And then those margins were just obliterated. Jay's sitting at 9 home runs now, which is tied for the fewest home runs hit in all of Major League Baseball. But, I mean, I'm not going to poo-poo Vlad for hitting 300 and Bo leading the league in hits. You just want to see a little more power from your top three. I think specifically from Vladdy and Santander. Bo has hit like 29 home runs once in his career. Right, so I'm not sure you really. I'm not gonna lay it all on Bo. Let's see, Anand in North York. I thought Schneider would give Vlad a day off, considering he must be bushed after today's contract signing. Mark in Leamington, this team looks like last year's with such a feeble offense. Let's hope it's not like last year's. And Ian in Ridgeville, we need to give Lucas a break. He's been a savior for Toronto in the few games he pitched before tonight. Yeah, he probably is just, quote-unquote, just your fifth starter, but still, I think you take what you've gotten from him, again, prior to last night. So we'll see if the Jays do give him another go the next turn through the rotation. Thanks for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown West Control Centers in Mount Pearl and Cornerbrook, Newfoundland. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. Protect your vehicle from rust today at your local family-owned Crown Rust Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection. For Ben Shulman, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, Christian Chiniti, Derek Brandeo, Nick Blackmore, I'm Shoali. Blair is back Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm back on the weekend. We'll talk to you later.